That was a great song. Appreciate the message of that song. Appreciate those that sang it. Hey, guys, thanks for being here today. I'm really excited you're here today. We are in week one, as we've already heard, of our 3 weeks of emphasis on missions. I think it's really neat to talk about missions in Solano County because we are in one of the most diverse counties in the entire country. And I love diversity. I love the diversity of food. That is awesome. But we are in a diverse place, and I think it's so great to be able to talk about missions in Solano County. In the next 3 weeks, we're not just going to talk about missions. We're going to talk about what you can do to let your light shine all around the world. You know, sometimes we get a lot of information about things, and it's like, well, we have all this information. What are we going to do with it all? Well, we're not just going to talk about information, but we're going to talk about what can you do to let your light shine all around the world. Can you imagine if you lived in darkness for one 24-hour period? I mean, go with me there for a second. Let's think about this. Let's think about maybe you're gonna live your life one 24-hour period without zero light at all. You wake up in the morning, you take your shower, you attempt to do your hair, you brush your teeth. You're doing okay with breakfast because you kind of know where everything is. You missed the milk in the bowl a little bit, but it was okay. You went to go out of the house, but you got to find your keys. And then the thought occurred in your mind, I can't even find my keys when there is light. Now that there's darkness, where are my keys? You look all over the place, you're trying to find your keys. You finally find your keys, and you attempt to drive to work with no sun, no stars, no moon, no headlight, no street lights. And then you get home. Somehow, miraculously, you make it home. And now it's time to make dinner, because if not, you're going to be getting complained at and whined at. So you got to make dinner for the family. And then you got to put the right amount of ingredients in the crock pot or in the pot. How am I going to do this? You try to wash the dishes after you eat, but the dishes probably aren't going to be that clean. We need light in our world. And when it comes to light, I think there's something that we would all understand, and it's this. If I can get this thing working. Are we getting it? There we go. Boom. When it comes to light, we know this. Our lives are limited without light. Our lives are limited without light. Your ability to get dressed, your ability to work, your ability to drive, your ability to do the necessary things in life without light are going to be very difficult to do. Now, if you have placed your faith in Jesus, you have become a follower of Christ. The Bible says this. It's really neat. The New Testament says that you have become a child of light. That you have become a child of light. I want to show you a couple scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 5, the Bible says this. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. In Ephesians, the next place, the Bible says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye in the Lord. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, God says, this is who you are. Like, this is your identity. It's like, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you were given a brand new identity. He says, you know who you are? You are a child of light. A new identity that God has given us isn't of just being a child of light, but an identity of being loved. You know that you are a loved person. It doesn't matter what a family member said about you. It doesn't matter what somebody said to you in the past. It doesn't matter how bad that relationship went. God says you are loved. You know in your identity of being in Christ that you are forgiven? That means you can live your life guilt-free because of the forgiveness that we have in Christ. You know that in Christ, you have an identity of being significant? That means you don't have to live your life trying to accomplish things to prove your worth. That's not a fun way to live because you're constantly having to do stuff to prove to yourself that you matter. No, you matter because Christ says you matter. You have this identity of being in Christ. See, when it comes to the Christian life, this is really important. Identity forms activity. Identity forms activity. So who you are determines what you do. Our next door neighbors are right below us. They have a cat. How many of you have a cat in here? You have a cat? I'm sorry. I'll pray for y'all later. I'm just kidding. But they have a cat. And this is going to surprise you, but their cat does the exact same thing every other cat does. It lays around. It looks at you. It eats. It uses the litter box, and it repeats the process. That's basically what the cat does. And I was informed that it's not just a cat. Our neighbor informed me that I don't call the cat a cat. I call the cat by its name. Its name is Tommy. So Tommy does the same thing that most or all cats do. Tommy, this is going to surprise you, but Tommy's never barked at me. That'd be kind of scary if he did. Tommy never has growled at me. Never has. Because Tommy's a cat. So Tommy's identity of being a cat has formed his activity. When you know who you are in Christ, you will know what activity we should be a part of. You see, a lot of times in the Christian life, what we forget about is we forget about who we are and we focus on everything we need to do. But really, it's the who before the do. I'm telling you, if you'll get this, let's go a long way. It's the who before the do, because this is what we do. We focus on the do and we get burned out. We get disillusioned. We get, oh my goodness, I know I was raised in this as a kid. I heard this since I was 4 years old. I know what I'm supposed to do. And we really focus on the do. And as pastors, I'm guilty. I talk a lot about the do. Because I'm like, you need to do this. But when you read the New Testament and you read Paul's writings, Paul focuses on the who more than he focuses on the do. Because when you know who you are, you will do what you're supposed to do. Sometimes in our lives, we think, there's no way I can ever do all this. And you're right, you can't. It's Jesus that does this through us. And you know who God says you are? A child of light. Nate, you don't know me. I have some skeletons in my closet. God says, no, I don't care. You put your faith in Christ, you are a child of light. Nate, I got some baggage. I got this baggage. God says, you are a child of light. Nate, I got some big issues right now that not a lot of people know, and I don't want anybody to know. God says, you are a child of light. That is who you are if you place your faith in Christ. And sometimes what happens is we are told that who we are is based on what we do. In the Christian life, who you are is not based on what you do. Who you are is based on who Jesus says you are. Now in Acts chapter 10, if you want to take out an app or your Bible and turn there, we're going to see somebody that engaged in they embraced their identity. They embraced their identity, and because of that, we see missions. Now, here's the crazy thing about your identity that you have to get. Like, this is really important. It's when you embrace your identity, you will engage in changing the world. When you embrace our identity, we engage in changing the world. Now, sometimes we say, we're going to do something. We're going to change the world. We're going to do this because that's what we're supposed to do. But what if that's who God has created you to be? When we embrace our identity, we engage in changing the world. In Acts chapter number 10, it's a story of Peter. And if we can go there, guys, Acts chapter 10, on the back, thanks, guys. Peter, in Acts chapter 10, it's a story about a guy named Cornelius and how Cornelius came to faith. It's really interesting. Basically, the whole chapter is about Acts chapter 10. The chapter's got a lot of verses, as some of you are saying. And if I read through the entire chapter, some of you guys would go to sleep halfway through. So you can study that on your own later. But we're just going to hit a couple big pieces of Acts chapter 10. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. This guy named Cornelius, he was in charge of 100 men, 100 soldiers of the Roman Empire. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So he was a very religious person. When you were to ask him his spiritual pedigree or whatever, he would look to everything that he has done as far as why he's spiritual. In verse number 3, it says, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day. Now the ninth hour is about 3 o'clock. An angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. So what's happening is God's working in the heart of Cornelius. Cornelius is a religious man, but Cornelius is he's a man that doesn't know Christ. We'll move on in verse number 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. The next verse says, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. Now, can you imagine if you're like Cornelius and you got like a vision of God right there? I would be scared to death. I would be like, did I eat too much pizza last night? Or, I mean, what's going on? And God is speaking to him through a vision. God is preparing his heart. And God says, this is what I want you to do, Cornelius. I want you to send some men to this place called Joppa. Verse 17. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision, which he had seen, should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Now we skip some verses. Let me kind of fill in the lines a little bit, okay? God had spoken to Cornelius. Now God had spoken to Peter. So God had revealed himself to Cornelius. God had revealed himself to Peter. And Peter doubted, hey, what did I just see? What does this mean? Verse number 18, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. As we continue reading, we see in the next verse, I believe we have some more verses there. While Peter thought on the vision, okay, like God had just spoken to him. Have you ever had this? Have you ever had like God just like, you're not sure if it's God or you're not sure what it is, you know? Like maybe you just like, you felt something in your heart and you just kind of think about it. I don't know how many of you are like thinkers, you know? It seems like in our world, we have less thinkers. Everybody just, we're just going 100 miles an hour. But you ever just kind of stop and just think? This is what's happening. Peter's just like, he's stopping, he's thinking. The Spirit of God says unto him, behold, 3 men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now it's interesting. God's worked in Cornelius' heart to send men to Joppa. Peter lives in Joppa. God's worked in Peter's heart to connect with these men. I find something very interesting. It's this. God prepares people to talk to the people he's prepared. God prepares people to talk to the people he's prepared. This is what's just happened. You have Cornelius is seeking God. You have Peter who knows the truth of God, and God ends up bringing them together. You know, that's what missions is. Missions is God is working in somebody's heart in a different country, in a different place, and God is working in a follower of Jesus' heart to go and tell those people the message of Jesus. It's not like we have all these great, amazing Christians, although that's awesome that they're willing to give their lives for Jesus. But we have God that's orchestrating everything. We have God that's working in the hearts of people. In verse number 24 of the story, it says, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him. Crazy thing. Cornelius and Peter ended up getting connected. Isn't that crazy? They lived hundreds of miles away from each other. They lived distance away from each other. God's working in Cornelius' heart. God's working in Peter's heart. And they just come together. You ever know somebody and like you're feeling something inside you that's like, I need to talk to them about Jesus. Like I need to invite them to church. Like I need to say something. Like maybe I can just say God somehow around them in a spiritual way. I need to do something because I just think I need to tell them. You know, God might be preparing their heart. He might have already prepared their heart. And he might be preparing your heart to show God's love and to communicate the message to him. Because this is exactly what happened in Acts chapter number 10. And this is an incredible story of, you see, a divine God, a God that's sovereign, a God that's in charge of everything, a God that wants the whole world to be reached, and the God says, look, there's somebody that's far away that I want to be reached, and Peter, I want you to do it. You know, we're going to hear an incredible story tonight from Johnny Esposito by way of video about how he was living in Long Beach with his family. He had a job just like all of us did, and he just felt this little tugging in his heart, just tugging that he needed to go to Far East Asia and be a missionary there and share the gospel. And he's going to share a story tonight about how lives have literally been changed. Lives have literally been changed because Johnny Esposito, Johnny embraced his identity, and because of that, he's engaged in what God wants him to do, and lives have been changed because of it. I found something that's interesting, and it's this. When people let their light shine, lives are changed forever. When people let their light shine, lives are changed forever. See, there's this kind of this tension. There's this tension inside of all of us because we want to make a difference. And that's why you're here. Like, you want to make a difference with your life. You don't just want to live an average, ordinary life. But the tension is this. It's like, I'm scared. I'm nervous. I have baggage. I have issues. I had that thing that happened years ago that not many people know about. So because of that, I can't really let my light shine. But you know this, that your ability to let your light shine is not based on what you've done outwardly, but it's based on what God has done and is doing inside of you. And when you let your light shine, lives are changed forever. Now you might say, hey, look, Nate, what can I do to let my light shine? I live in Fairfield, California. I'm busy. I have things going on. What can I do to let my light shine overseas? That's what we're going to talk about just for a minute. There's some things that we can do. And are you going to go get an airplane and sell everything you have and go to one of these foreign fields? Maybe. Maybe that's what God's called you to do. But maybe not. But what can we all do in this room to let our light shine? Well, the first thing we can do is we can pray. Can you do me a favor for a minute? Can you take out your service program real quick? And there is a green insert in there. This was this has supported missionaries on this sheet here. And this is the missionaries that we support. The people that are going all around the world sharing the gospel. You can see the names of the people, and you can see the different places where they're at. And you can pray for these people. I don't know all these people. You don't know all these people. But you know what you can do? You can pray for them. In our small lobby, you can actually get a visual image next to the name. I don't know about you, but I think it's sometimes if I pray for people but I don't have an image, it's just kind of an image of what they look like. It's just kind of weird. But when I can actually like visualize who I'm praying for, it just kind of does something to me a little bit. I just feel like what I'm doing is a little more significant. Not that it is if I don't know their face or whatnot, but it's just a connection. And you can go in that lobby and you can pray. You can get their names and their faces, and you can pray for every missionary we have all around the world. There's something else we can do. Potentially, you can go. Maybe this is what God has called you to do. Maybe God's been working in your heart, and maybe you feel God might be saying, there's some people that I'm preparing in a different place that I want you to go and communicate the message of Jesus to them. I don't know. Maybe God wants you to go. There's one other thing, and that is giving. In just a couple weeks, we're going to invite everybody to make a decision to give something every week so our lights can shine all around the world. We're going to invite every person. We're going to give you the opportunity to commit and say, hey, I want to give something so the light of the gospel can go around the world. We're going to ask you, first of all, to give weekly. But second of all, we're going to ask you to be a part of something we've never done, and I'm really excited about it, and that's our Let Your Light Shine offering. What we're going to do is we're going to team up with some incredible missionary projects. And in 2 weeks, we're going to take a one-time cash offering, and we're going to give 100% of what comes into that offering. We're going to give it to these missionary projects. We have some missionaries in Malawi, Africa. They're the Chapman family, and they started something last year called a mobile medical clinic, and it's an incredible feat of what they're doing there. And They started last year in 2014, and what they're doing is they're literally bringing doctors and medicine and things that are going to heal people of a physical nature to places where people are dying regularly of preventative diseases. And before I say any more about it, we're going to watch this video of what they're doing, and we're going to let them share their story. They put this video together in 2014.
Malawi is the eighth poorest country in the world. Imagine a world cut off and remote, without modern conveniences, a world without modern medicine, a world where 50% of the deaths every year are due to preventable disease, diseases such as malaria, upper respiratory disease, diarrhea diseases of all types. Imagine a world where malnutrition takes the lives of many of its infants. And there's nothing one can do except sit back and watch and cry. Imagine a world where a cut or a scratch or some small thing can fester into a life-threatening situation. Imagine a world where a doctor who would just come every few months could change everything. Clear and present show of God's love with a gospel message. A man of God who cares about not only soul, but about body. That's our vision at Eurasian Baptist Mission. A mobile clinic in Malawi, staffed by Malawians, supported by American Christians, particularly American Christian doctors. This is my vision, and I'm Eric Chapman, Doctor of Divinity. Please help us find a way to put Malawian doctors on the road with gospel preachers to not only change lives physically, but to bring them a gospel that has the true meaning of Jesus in it. I care about you. What we want to do here in Malawi is to take this medical team, this mobile medical team, out every week with us as we visit the churches here in Malawi. We have been able to start nearly 200 churches in this country, mostly in these remote areas. What a blessing it would be to these people to also be able to have their physical needs met with the mobile clinic. To be able to do this, we need a four-wheel drive vehicle. We need funding to pay the doctors. We need funding to pay for medicine. Pray with us about this. If you're a doctor, we're inviting you to come in June of 2015 and be a part of our mobile clinic and see firsthand what God is doing here in Malawi. Pray about coming and seeing what God is doing.
Shine there. You know how much it costs? I was looking it up. It only costs $2,000 a month for that ministry to happen. That's it. $2,000 a month. Think about the medical expenses here in this country. Only $2,000 a month. They serve over 100 people a day. People that are dying from preventable diseases. You know what we can do, Calvary? We can let our light shine there. We're going to be partnering with them in our Let Your Light Shine offering because we think that we need to help the people in Malawi. There's another project we're teaming with, and that's Bibles in Papua New Guinea. Our missionaries to Papua New Guinea, the Russell family, they live on a remote island in New Guinea, and it's really incredible. They are the only source of Bibles on that entire island. The only way people can get Bibles is through them. And there's many people that don't have Bibles because the Russell family, they don't have enough to give out. They've asked for 2,000 more Bibles. Now, with the shipping and the binding and the printing and all that, the Bibles cost about $6 each. Bibles cost about $6 each. For $6, we can put a Bible in somebody's hand that's never had a Bible before. I don't know about you, but I have several Bibles in my house. Several that they just sit on the shelf and collect dust. Maybe I'll admit it. These people, they never had a copy of God's word in their hand. They have no way to get it except for the Russell family. And for $6 a Bible, we can get them Bibles. We're teaming up with this mobile medical clinic. We're teaming up with the Russell family to get Bibles in Papua New Guinea. But we're also going to team up. Our last project that we're teaming up with is the Barnabas 1040 ministry. The Barnabas 1040 ministry. In 2 weeks, you'll meet our missionary, Dwight Tomlinson. And he is starting a new ministry called Barnabas 1040. Now, he is in the 1040 window, which you can see the 1040 window here. In this window, two-thirds of the Earth's population live, just right here in the 1040 window. So this is a very needy place. And what he intends to do is he's going to go there and he's going to plant churches, and not just plant churches, but train pastors to take over these churches in the 1040 window. Now, he's just starting this ministry. The incredible thing about Dwight is he's going to come here, and he's not a young man. He's pastored in Newport Beach for the last 25 years. I don't know if you've ever been to Newport Beach, but that's a pretty nice place. He's been pastoring in Newport Beach. Where he is, he's fine. He's comfortable. He said this, look, God wants me to let my light shine in the 1040 window. He's resigned his church. Just the last couple weeks, it's become official. They have a new pastor, and now he's going to start this ministry, and he's going to share with us in just a couple weeks how all that works. Three projects. Three projects. We, by giving a cash offering, can allow our lights to shine all around the world. The truth is this, is that your gift will give somebody the gift of life. Your gift in two weeks will give somebody the gift of life. Look, if you're new to our church, maybe this is your first or second or third or fourth time here, and you're just trying to figure everything out, I want you to know this about Calvary Baptist Church. We love our city. We love our community. We love our world. And we don't just want to talk about it, but we want to do something about it. We want to make an impact. Everything that's given in 2 weeks, 100% of that will go directly to these projects, and not a dime will go to any need here on this campus, because we believe that we need to let our light shine around the world. I want to ask you a question, and then we're going to wrap this whole thing up. Do you want your light to shine in a needy world? Do you want your light to shine in a needy world? Is there something inside of you right now that's just like, I want my light to shine? I want to do something about people that are dying of malaria. I want to put a Bible in somebody's hand that's never had a Bible before. You know, I want to let my light shine around the world. And I'm not asking for some emotional response. I mean, really, do you want your light to shine in a needy world? Well, where do we go from here? What can we do as we wrap it up? Well, one, we can embrace our identity. We can embrace our identity of who God's made us to be. If you get nothing from today and you just get this, that your identity is not defined by what you do or what you've done, but what God has done for you and what God has said about you, you will leave this place in a much better place than when you walked in these doors. Embrace your identity. God has made you a child of light. Ask God what he wants you to do financially. Ask God what he wants you to do financially. Now I can come up here and I can try to guilt trip you and try to, but I don't want to do that. Would you just ask God and say, God, how can I let my light shine? God, what do you want me to give weekly? Don't ask me. I don't know what God wants you to do. But would you ask God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Me and Gina are going to be praying. God, how do you want our lights to shine? And third of all, trust in Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're not a child of light. Maybe you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus. I'm not asking if you've been baptized before. I'm not asking if maybe you took First Communion or if you've done some religious ritual or something like that. I'm asking, have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus and became a child of light? The New Testament talks about how we've all sinned, how we've all done wrong. And because we've done wrong, we've broken the law of God. And that has separated us from God eternally. It separated us from God eternally. And nothing that we can do can bridge that gap to make us right with God. So God sent his son Jesus. He came and he died on the cross for our sins. And by putting our faith in him, he restores our relationship with God so we can have a heavenly Father. If you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you can do that today and you can become a child of light. Whatever God's speaking to you about this morning, maybe it's embracing your identity, maybe it's asking God what he wants you to do, or maybe it's trusting in Jesus as your Savior. We want to do what God wants us to do so we can let our light shine. Shall we pray together? God, I ask you as a church family, I ask you as a group of people in this room,